when the war is raging against us. Amen? And as we've said several times in this study, when you exercise your faith, God will exercise His power. Amen? We got to exercise our faith. We got to take a stand. We got to stand up against the things that are coming against us. As we've discovered, the struggle, the spiritual warfare we are engaged in is a no-holds-barred, violent, brutal fight to the death. Amen? The Message paraphrase, when you read it, it says, this is no afternoon picnic contest. Amen? This is a fight to the death. We should never underestimate the severity of the war we become a part of when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. Paul tells us plainly that our battle isn't against people. It isn't against flesh and blood, although many times it may feel like that. But it's against powerful, evil spirit beings that have held their positions of power and authority since ancient times. So last week we looked at some key words. We're not going to spend much time reviewing. But here in verse 12, we look at, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And we look that that word is the word arche in the Greek. And it means a commencement or chief in order, time, place, or rank. Has a preeminence or a priority. Jesus used this word in John 8:44 when he said, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, or from the arche, from the very start of time, and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Amen. And we looked at many scriptures that talked about the beginning and the commencement of things. And so we have these, our fight isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against these spiritual beings, these principalities that have been in positions of power since the beginning of time. Amen? Yes. And then we looked at a second word, exousia, or powers. Principalities and powers. And the word powers is the word exousia, and it's delegated authority. It's people given jurisdiction. It's translated as magistrate in certain places. So it's someone who's to enforce a law. But when we looked at these, we can see that arche is the authority that grants the power, and exousia is those that execute the power. There's these beings that are in the realm, the spiritual realm, that we don't see. They're around us, but they're exerting this authority that they have, received, and they're enforcing that, and they have been doing it since the start of time. Amen? See, Adam and Eve were in charge of this earth. They were the gods of this world, so to speak. The Word of God told them to subdue the earth and to keep it under. And when they allowed the enemy, that means to subjugate, it means to keep underfoot. They were to keep everything in this earth underfoot. They were to keep everything under their control. And when they allowed Satan to usurp that control, that Satan took, as he became the god of this world at that point in time, to enforce a law, the law of sin and death. And you can read about it. The book of James says when anyone is overcome, that they basically give place and they give the ability for somebody to rule over them, they become slaves to that person.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. In the Garden of Eden, Satan was to be kept underfoot. Satan, he was here. Amen? He was to be kept underfoot. He was to be kept in subjugation. And Adam and Eve, was deceived and she just started thinking about things and the pride of life and different things. I mean, just everything. The flesh. She seen the apple and it looked good to her. How many times do we see things and it looks good to us? And we fall. Amen? So, we can see that through the Word of God, and that's a whole different study to talk about that whole authority chain of events. But, so we've got principalities and we've got powers, and then he goes on to say that there are rulers of darkness or world forces of darkness. Now the word rulers of darkness, these three words, in the Greek, they use the word kosmokrator. It's some translations call it kosmokrator. It denotes raw power that has been harnessed and put into some kind of order. Rick Renner says that it was used at times to picture military training camps when young men were assembled, trained, and turned into an effective fighting force. When they arrived, they were individuals. They were raw recruits doing things their own way, undisciplined, having their own ideas how they look and how to act and how to behave. But as training progressed, they were taught discipline and order and working together, each doing a particular job, following orders without asking questions, becoming an organized, disciplined army. That's the thought used behind the words that Paul is using here. Paul is trying to communicate to us that we are fighting against an organized, disciplined group that's out to do all the damage they can do against the human race.
Yep.
Amen? And when you think about it, they're veterans. They're veterans of many wars, many battles, many campaigns waged against mankind. The Vines Dictionary says, not earthly potentates, but spirit powers who exercise satanic and therefore antagonistic authority over the world in its present condition of spiritual darkness and alienation from God. Kosmokrator was used by the Greeks to describe their so-called gods who rule the world, Helios, Zeus, and Hermes. I found this very interesting, though. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says the title Kosmokrator, power or potentate, occurs frequently in classical and rabbinical literature, and it denotes one who aspires for world control. See, the enemy's out for control. They want to control you. They want to control the earth. I mean, that's what Satan's whole deal was, amen? He wanted to view himself and wanted to be worshipped as God. He wanted to be in control. Didn't work out so well for him. Amen? So, we need to realize what he's talking about here. We got principalities, those that have been in positions of authority. The leaders, the generals, so to speak. And we've seen last week that Satan many times is called the Archon, a derivative of the word arche, the prince. He's at the top of the food chain, so to speak. And then you've got some that are underneath him. And then you've got the exousia, the powers underneath him. And then the rulers of darkness underneath them. Chain of command. The word darkness is the word skotos in the Greek. It is the sphere in which light is absent. There is no light at all. It's not dusk. It's not right before dawn. There is an absence of light. It's the essence of darkness. It speaks more of the consequence of darkness, it says in the Strong's. The consequences of sin is darkness that man and these evil spirits have to live in. It's used to describe the spiritual powers of Satan and his evil empire. Amen? It indicates a demonic authority that extends to all unbelieving persons, whether Jew or Gentile. Darkness is the sphere in which all believers in Christ formerly belonged. And throughout the Word of God, light and darkness are characterized as complete opposites. Amen? Look at Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness," it's the word skotos, "but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It says you were darkness. Now you're light. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We need to get a hold of this truth and get it down in us. Amen? You're not darkness anymore. We may mess up, we may sin, we may do things that aren't right, but the Word of God says that we're just to confess that, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John 1:9. Amen? Doesn't give us a license to do that, but we're human. God knows we're going to make mistakes. We're going to miss it. Amen? And so we are to do that. But the thing is we are not that anymore. We're not part of that anymore. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3 says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince," or the archon, "of the power," of the exousia, "of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But the Word of God says that we as children of God aren't destined for wrath. Amen? We're not under that anymore. We aren't walking that way anymore. We were dead, now we're alive.
Hallelujah.
Amen? We were darkness, now we're light. Glory to God. We looked at this last week. It says in Colossians 1:13, "Who has delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." You are under the authority of the kingdom of darkness anymore. Amen? You are under the authority of the kingdom of His dear Son. Glory to God. Amen. Remember in Acts 26 we looked at where Paul, Jesus said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Glory to God. The truth that we need to get a hold of is that the enemy has no power or authority over us and has not had any power or authority over us since we became children of God. The only power and authority that He can have over us is what we allow Him to.
That's right. Right.
Amen?
Yep.
That old Flip Wilson thing on laughing, I know most of you were probably too spiritual to watch that, but our family wasn't. We watched it. Remember, he said, "The devil made me do it." Well, the devil can't make you do anything.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen? You're not under his authority anymore. You're not under his sway anymore. You're not under the authority of the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness. Those that want to rule the world and they want to rule people. Amen? Want to keep people in bondage. Want to keep people in servitude to them. You're not obligated to that anymore. You were dead. Now you're alive. You're alive unto God.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
So we need to get a hold of that. That we aren't under that anymore. That is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there is freedom in him.
Yes.
Amen? There's freedom from darkness. There's freedom from depression. There's freedom from oppression. There's freedom from bondage. We are to cast down every thought and imagination that does not line up with the truth that we are now in the light. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Darkness and light are always contrasted totally in the Word of God. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness?"
Yes.
Don't be hanging around people that are dark, that are part of the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Dark hearts, doing wicked things, walking in the flesh, don't know God, don't serve God. You can witness to them. You can love on them. But don't spend a bunch of time. Don't be unequally yoked together with them. Well, I'm just trying to lift them up. It doesn't work that way. It always works the other way. Yeah. They drag you back down. Amen? Romans 13:12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." We looked at this scripture several weeks ago. It talks about putting on the truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, turn there if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We need to remind ourselves of these things when the enemy tries to beat us up about who we are and tries to drag us back down in. Amen. Tries to keep us in bondage. It says in verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness," the word skodos once again, "into his marvelous light." Glory to God. But he doesn't stop there. It says, "For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God." Glory to God.
Amen.
"You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Praise the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule," that's the word RK, "and authority," exousia. Amen. "And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and in removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of the flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers," or the RK, "and the authorities," exousia, "he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yep. Paul starts talking about your faith, the stability of your faith. Be rooted and grounded in the word. Don't get off into philosophy and empty deception, talking about men and their traditions of men. You better focus on what the word says. Paul says, stay stable in your faith, stable in the word, knowing that in him. Amen. You need to go through, if you've never done it, go through Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians and underline everywhere, circle every word it says in him or in Christ. It says, in him you have been made complete.
Hallelujah.
The word complete there is the word plero. It means to fill to the full, to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, to fill to the top so that nothing shall be wanting to full measure. Glory to God. To make complete in every particular, to render perfect, to carry through to the end. You have been made complete in Jesus Christ. You haven't missed out on anything. Amen. Somebody else didn't get any more than you.
That's right.
God doesn't play favorite. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't have a favorite child.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. Says in Jesus Christ, you've been made complete. You've got everything that you need to be victorious in your faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You've got everything you need to live victoriously. You've got everything you need to live that every need in your life is met. You've got everything that you need to live in peace, to live in joy. Amen? You've got everything because of Jesus. You don't need to get off into traditions of men and philosophy and all that. Paul says, forget that garbage. Don't be deceived by that. That's your stinking thinking. That's the world's stinking thinking. Amen? That's the devil's stinking thinking that he uses to promote things, and people think that they're enlightened and they're smarter. And it's the same old story. It's the same old philosophy. It's the same old garbage that he's tried for thousands of years. They just call it something else today.
That's right.
Amen? It's just all packaged differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times are you walking through the grocery store and you're looking for something and you don't see it, and then all of a sudden you see it and it's like, man, they changed the package. They do that on purpose so that you have to look for it. It's the same way with the enemy. He changes things. He makes it look good. He changes the name of it. He changes the representative of it. He changes the spokesperson for it so that, oh, but they're so much smarter than everybody else. They're just so enlightened. No, it's the same garbage as somebody was spouting 2,000 years ago. Yeah. Some Greek philosopher that has mountains of books, he espoused the same theology. Because
yep.
It is a religion.
Yes.
Whether they want to call it or not. Humanism, evolution, they're all religions. Yes. Amen?
Yep.
It's just packaged differently. You ever wonder why in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was at Mars Hill, and he was there, and it says that he was walking through Athens, and there was shrines, and there was stuff to everything that was named, and they even wanted to cover everything to the unknown God. They had a shrine to the unknown God, and Paul says, I want to tell you about him today. And there was all these religions there and all them philosophies, and he only mentions two. The Epicureans and the Stoics. Evolution and humanism. If you look back and look what they believe, that's what they espoused. Epicurus said the world was formed by a fortuitous concourse of atoms. Sound familiar? It's nothing new. It's the same old darkness. It's the same old deception that the enemy wants to use time and time again. He wants to keep people in darkness. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Maybe you never thought about that, but I thought about it one time when I was reading in the book of Acts. Why? This is back long before we had, I know this may seem ancient to people, before we had Google. So I went to the Greene County Public Library and looked up Epicurus and looked up Stoics and did some study and found out that's what they believed. They were just evolutionary humanism. That's it. So it's the same thing. Same thing. I believe that the Holy Spirit put that in there specifically for that.
Sure, absolutely.
Amen?
Yep.
There's nothing there that's not been espoused before. So, here in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays, and we talk about this prayer, and we pray it many times, but we don't really grasp a hold of what he's talking about here. In a lot of instances. In Ephesians 1, he says, starting in verse 15, for this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power, or dunamis, toward us who believe, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. The word Kratos that we talked about, it's God exercising his power, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule.
Yes.
The word arche. And authority, exousia, and power, dunamis, and dominion. Dominion is the word kyriotos. It's K-Y-R-I-O-T-E-S. It means mastery, dominion, lordship. Milton, in his study, says it's equivalent to domination. Or dominates. Mm. The enemy wants to dominate people and possess people. Amen? Mm-hmm. Says Jesus seated at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over how many things?
All
things. You know what that word all means in the Greek? Come on, many of you know.
All.
Every. Amen? He's been given a name that's above every name. Amen? Everything is in subjection to him. It's under his feet. Exactly where the devil was supposed to be right from the very beginning.
Amen.
That's what it says in the book of Genesis. That they were to subdue this earth. They were to keep it under. They were to tread upon. Jesus came to restore that. Amen. We talked about that in Acts 26 last week. To turn people. That word turns means to revert to a former condition. You're not in darkness anymore. You're not on the bottom with it. Satan putting his foot on you. It's flipped.
Yes.
Why? Because you're part of the body of Christ. You're a child of God. Amen? And Jesus made a show of them openly. It says in Colossians that we read, he triumphed over that in it. Every demon in hell, Satan himself, tried to hold Jesus down, tried to keep him in the grave, and they couldn't do it.
That's right.
Amen. So we need to get a hold of that. We're still talking about them rulers of darkness. He's put all things under his feet. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Amen? You get into a situation where fear is trying to grip you, just start speaking. Well, I can't think of any scriptures. I can't think of anything. Just start speaking Jesus. Just keep saying the name Jesus. Amen? It's the name that's above every name. Every knee has to bow.
Yes.
Amen? Every tongue will confess. You either confess it now or you'll confess it at the great white throne judgment. One or the other. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Paul here in Ephesians, when we were talking about that, let me read the New Living Translation for you in Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. It says, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power, or dunamis, for us who believe. That it's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and gave Him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It is filled by Christ who fills everything everywhere with His presence. Paul's prayer was that the believers in Ephesus would come to understand the incredible power and the resulting authority that was available to the church and to them individually for their benefit. Amen. People do not know that they have authority.
That's right.
Amen. People do not know that they don't have to live in darkness. Even believers do not know that they have authority when they speak the word of God. Too many people beg. God never told us to beg.
That's right. That's right.
He told us to speak the word with boldness. Amen? To use the name of Jesus. These two foundational principles of the Christian faith were the result of Jesus having been raised from the dead. If you come to an understanding of the power of God and the authority that has been given to you as a member of God's family, as a member of the body of Christ, it will bring victory and it will bring confidence into your life like never before. Some of you are like, I don't know. Trust me. As Brother Jim was talking about downstairs, trust the word. Take a step out and begin to pray. You know, Pastor Karen and I had some people one time talk to us. They said, you guys pray different than other people. When you're praying for people, you pray with such boldness and such conviction. And it's like, we didn't even think much about it. You know? We're just praying trying to pray according to the word. Amen? Just pray with that boldness. Pray. Do you have faith in what you're praying for is going to happen, or don't you? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Do you believe what the word says? I'm going to pray with boldness. Amen? I'm not the one doing the work.
That's right.
I have no power in me. I'm just releasing that power that God's granted me. I'm not anything in myself. I'm just doing what God's word says. And just trusting Him to do the work.
Yes.
Rick Renner said this, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we are loaded with heaps and heaps of raw power. For the church has no shortage of power, nor is it deficient in God-given authority. We have more power and more authority than all these evil forces combined.
Wow.
What we lack is order and discipline. We must learn to see ourselves as the army of God and to view the local church as a training center where we are taught to do God's business, then we must heed the call of Jesus and be dispatched into the dark world to preach the gospel and to drive these evil forces from people's lives. Whew. That's a whole different perspective than going out there and just your little timid little witness. You walk into the scene, I'm going to drive some devils out of here. Amen? That's the mentality that we need to have as the church. Amen? The mentality that we need to have is that we are going to drive the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual wickedness that has been settled over this community and over other communities around here, that we're going to drive them out of here. And drive them from people's lives, and that people are going to see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people that are in bondage to heroin and meth and anything else that you can name, that we're going to see them set free by the power of the mighty name of Jesus. That's why God sent us here. He just didn't send us here to have a church and just play church on Sunday mornings and be a little bless me club and go home.
That's right.
That's good.
Amen. We are to speak the word of God with boldness. He goes on to say, we must buckle down and begin to view ourselves as the troops of Jesus Christ. Your very existence as a child of God, the existence of the church, is a living, breathing, daily reminder and testimony to the powers of darkness of their defeat and their subjugation to the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds them of Christ's lordship, their defeat, and their coming final judgment. Glory to God. Amen. Wonder why they don't like you? They don't like the church? Because every time you begin to pray, you remind them of what's going to happen to them. You remind them of that day 2,020 years ago when Jesus burst forth and was raised from the dead. Amen. Every time you get on your knees to pray, it reminds them of their defeat. We need to get a hold of that. We need to get it down in us. We have authority. We have power. Amen. We've been given the name of Jesus to use. That's the name above every name. So, a couple more things. I want to get through this verse today. I got to get through it. So, he goes on, spiritual wickedness. Amen. In high places. The word spirit or spiritual is pneumatikos. It refers to that which belongs to the supernatural world as distinguished from what belongs to the natural world. Our struggle is against invisible forces whose evil disposition leads them only to intentionally practice ill will. The phrase spiritual forces of wickedness was used in Paul's day by astrologers who believed angels or gods were behind the heavenly bodies and that they affected human life. Horoscopes. What's your sign? Amen. There's people that live by that. They live by their horoscope every day. Amen. I worked with people who used to get the newspaper. They had to read their horoscope. If it said they were going to have a bad day, they were going to have a bad day. Right? You might know people like that?
Yeah.
You know, astrology started in Babylonian. It isn't anything. It just didn't start in the 60s and 70s. The age of Aquarius. Started back in Babylonian days. It's the same old thing. Amen? Spiritual wickedness. Vincent's word study says this spiritual host of wickedness is in the heavenly places. This phrase is collective of the evil powers viewed as a body. They possess an authority or power that is universal. It's not just localized. So when Paul's talking about this, he's talking about principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness, and then he sums it all up basically. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wickedness is the word poniera, and it means an evil disposition. It's used in the New Testament only in the moral and ethical sense and refers to intentionally practice ill will. Principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness, they only have one thing in mind, and that's to come against you and bring bad things into mankind's life, into your life, and into my life. It's active malice. It's not only doing evil, but being evil. Webster defines malevolence as the condition which arises from intense, often vicious ill will, spite, or hatred. Tells us the ultimate aim of Satan's dark domain, the kingdom of darkness. These evil spirits, no matter what their rank or their function, they're sent forth to afflict humanity in bad, vile, malevolent, and vicious ways. There is no good. Only evil. Only ill intent. Amen? It's used 7 times. I'm not going to read all of them, but all of them are used to signify evil in the New Testament. Talking about wickedness and wicked ways. Wiest, in his word studies, writes that poniera speaks of wickedness not merely in the abstract, but active. It has in it the ideas of dangerous and destructive. He goes on to say our word pernicious excellently describes it. And he notes that pernicious is defined as highly injurious or destructive and implies imperishable harm done through evil or insidious corrupting or undermining. Yep, the enemy's always at work. He's got that plan against us. And Paul says, you need to put on the whole armor of God so that you're able to stand against that. Amen? We're going to start finding out what the armor is, finally. Amen? After, what is this, week 7? Yes, week number 7. We've made it through 2 verses. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it talks about the heavenly places. And we need to remember that it's not talking about heaven where God dwells. It's talking about the realm that's right above the earth. Because he is called the principality of the air, the power of the air. He writes, Wiest goes on, in this context, the heavenly places here are not those highest ones inhabited by the holy angels, but the lower heavens, the lower atmosphere surrounding the earth. And someday they're going to be restricted. They're not even going to be able to go there anymore. Amen. Because Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. That's how quick he was thrown out of heaven. Amen. He rebelled against God. He puffed himself up in pride, said, I'm God. And 186,000 miles a second, I believe, is how fast light travels. That's how fast he was dispatched from heaven. Amen. So just this morning, I just want you to be encouraged as we all stand, as we get ready to worship this morning. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. You are victorious, that you